In a world full of lies and deception, it takes courage to speak truth. In a nation half-bent on its own destruction, it takes honor to seek a return to glory. Join us in cutting through the lies and propaganda. It's time for Cutting Through the Chaos on the America Out Loud Network. Here is your host, Wallace Garneau.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cutting Through the Chaos on the America Out Loud Network, where we cut through the lies and the propaganda to bring you the out loud truth. I'm your host, Wallace Garneau, and we've got a great show for you today. I may get a little heated, and this is a topic that has... It's usually a topic I don't think much about, but the information I'm going to share with you today may make me angry, even though I've already gone over it and already been angry because of it. It may make you angry. What I want to talk about today is an organization called the World Professional Association of Transgendered Health. It goes by WPATH, is the acronym, WPATH. And this is the organization that writes the standards of care that then become official U.S. policy for all doctors and hospitals to follow. And they're not just America. This is world. So they're essentially writing what the standards of care should be for transgendered health all over the world. And most governments right now are listening to them. Joe Biden, for example, celebrated March 31st this year as the Day of Trans Visibility. He actually got it wrong. The day is supposed to be called the Trans Day of Visibility. Joe Biden got the words mixed up and called it the Day of Trans Visibility, which tells you how little he knows about the event that he is professing belief for himself. And he said a lot of things about transgendered health in there. There were a lot of politicized statements that he made in there, in which he accused Republicans of being not just anti-trans, but anti-children and anti all kinds of things, based upon the belief that most Republicans have. Probably all Republicans virtually, but probably exceptions, but that most Republicans have with regards to, for example, parental consent in trans children being given surgeries. Now, the first thing that I think about when I saw that he had a proclamation on March 31st about the Trans Day of Visibility, my first thought there was that by not mentioning Easter in it, he was being... You have to give him some credit for at least being intellectually consistent, because, let's face it, the whole concept that there are millions of people running around the world, running around the country and the world, that are transgendered. What does that mean? What is it to be transgendered? It means, of course, that most trans people believe they were born a boy in a girl's body, or born a girl in a boy's body, or they believe that they are something other than a binary gender. Some people believe that they can be both genders at the same. All kinds of crazy things when it comes to the trans ideology. What they've done is they have made gender completely fluid. And the irony of making gender fluid and separating gender from biological sex is that when you make gender fluid, all of a sudden you're saying boys have to act this way and girls have to act that way again, which is something that I think very rightly we're kind of moving away from. If a boy wants to act more feminine, it's a free country. You should be able to act feminine. I consider myself a bit of a small L libertarian. So I when I see these kinds of things where a guy wants to act like he's a girl, I'm like, you know, dude wants to wear a dress, let him wear a dress. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me, though, is when we start abusing children. And that's what's happening. This organization, WPATH, the World Professional Association of Transgendered Health, they were just caught by a group called... Environmental Health, which is a right-wing group. I'm not gonna tell you it's not. It is a right-wing group, and what they did is they did some sting operations where they ended up getting some audio tape and video of WPATH members, along with internal documents from WPATH, a lot of internal documents. And what they did is they dumped all that out onto the internet, and they released a press release, and. I'm going to read the press release to you. I think this is very, very important. Everybody needs to hear this, and I'm just going to read it for you. It's dated March 4th, 2024, so a little bit late getting to the game, but you know, better late than never. March 4th, 2024, newly leaked files from within the leading global transgender healthcare body have revealed that the clinicians who shape how gender medicine is regulated and practiced around the world consistently violate medical ethics and informed consent. The files, which were leaked from within the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, were published today by the U.S.-based think tank Environmental Progress. WPATH is considered the leading global scientific and medical authority on gender medicine, and in recent decades, its standards of care have shaped the guidance, policies, and practices of governments, medical associations, public health care systems, and private clinics around the world. However, the WPATH files reveal that the organization does not meet the standards of evidence-based medicine, and members frequently discuss improvising treatments as they go along. Members are fully aware that children and adolescents cannot comprehend the lifelong consequences of gender-affirming care, and in some cases, due to poor health literacy, neither can their parents. The WPATH files show that what is called gender medicine is neither science nor medicine, said Michael Schellenberger, president and founder of Environmental Progress. The experiments are not randomized, double-blind, or controlled. It's not medicine, since the first rule is to do no harm, and that requires informed consent. The raw files have been published in a report called the WPATH Files, Pseudoscientific Surgical and Hormonal Experiments on Children, Adolescents, and Vulnerable Adults, which contains analysis by journalist Mia Hughes that puts the WPATH files in the context of the best available science on gender distress. Environmental Progress has made all files available to read at the end of the report. The leaked files include screenshots of posts from WPATH's internal messaging forum dating from 2021 to 2024 and a video of an internal panel discussion. All names have been redacted other than several WPATH members of public significance, such as Dr. Marcy Bowers, an American gynecologist and surgeon who is the president of WPATH, and the Canadian pediatric endocrinologist Dr. Daniel Metzger. In the WPATH files, members demonstrate a lack of consideration for long-term patient outcomes, despite being aware of the debilitating and potentially fatal side effects of cross-sex hormones and other treatments. Messages in the files show that patients with severe mental health issues, such as schizophrenia and dissociative identity disorder, and other vulnerabilities, such as homelessness, are being allowed to consent to hormonal and surgical interventions. Members dismiss concerns about these patients and characterize efforts to protect them as unnecessary gatekeeping. The files provide clear evidence that doctors and therapists are aware they are offering minors life-changing treatments they cannot fully understand. WPATH members know that puberty blockers, hormones, and surgeries will cause infertility and other complications, including cancer and pelvic floor dysfunction, yet they consider life-altering medical interventions for young patients, including vaginoplasty for a 14-year-old and hormones for a developmentally delayed 13-year-old. The WPATH files also show how far medical experiments in gender medicine have gone, with discussions about surgeons performing nullification and other extreme body modification procedures to create body types that do not exist in nature. A growing number of medical and psychiatric professionals say the promotion of pseudoscientific surgical and hormonal experiments is a global medical scandal that compares to major incidents of medical malpractice in history, such as lobotomies and ovariotomy, I don't even know what that word is. I know what it is. It's where they take the ovaries out of women. Activist members of WPATH know that the so-called gender-affirming care they provide can result in lifelong complications and sterility, and that their patients do not understand the implications, such as the loss of sexual function and the ability to experience orgasm, Schellenberger said. These leaked files show overwhelming evidence that the professionals within WPATH know that they are not getting consent from children, adolescents, and vulnerable adults or their caregivers. Environmental Progress has written to every WPATH member named in the files, as well as additional members whose names have been redacted, to confirm their comments and offer a right of reply. Two people responded, one confirmed that the comments attributed to them were correct, and another did not deny their comments but refuted Environmental Progress's interpretation of them. Mention of Environmental Progress outreach to members via email was then later seen in the form of comments on WPATH's internal messaging forum. They give all of the information on this. It's https colon slash slash environmentalprogress.org/big-news/WPATH-files. Go through the files and look at these things, people. They're far worse than anything that I might make you think. They're far worse than you can imagine them to be. One of the people that you'll run into as you dig into WPATH is a woman named Laura Jacobs. And I hesitate calling this person Laura Jacobs or calling this person a woman because it is a trans spokesperson for WPATH. And as a trans person, you know, it's a dude. So, you know. But anyway, this person is giving guidance. And this person is saying that WPATH's next batch of guidance, what WPATH wants to work on now that they've already allowed children to start getting all of this horrendous care, they want to start working on, using her language, we have to move beyond penis and vagina norms, such that children who choose to have genitalia that may look like flowers or abstract sculptures. Children can choose to have multiple genitalia. They can even decide to have interchangeable genitalia. And after listing all of these things, she adds, and what about other parts of the body? Now, understand, what WPATH is doing and what they are promoting is that children as young as 13, if they feel like they are the other gender, can get puberty blockers so that they do not develop, and in some cases they can even have their genitalia removed. Now they don't just want to remove the genitalia from children. Now they actually want to remove the genitalia, transform it into some kind of art, and then reapply the genitalia, not necessarily where the genitalia is supposed to go, but wherever the person wants the genitalia. They also want children to be able to have, as gender-affirming care, have body parts removed, have all kinds of strange, you know, when you see these crazy people on Facebook, photos on Facebook of somebody with like holes in their cheeks and tattoos over their entire face, and they've turned themselves to look like a lizard, and you see that, you think, well, I guess this guy's not getting a job. That's what they want to normalize. This is what WPATH is saying gender-affirming care needs to be. That if somebody thinks they're a cat, there was a rumor where I live that one of the schools, I don't know if it's true or not. I've heard from parents that it is. I've heard from other people it's not. But there was a rumor that one of the schools near where I live, in one of the bathrooms, they put kitty litter in a kitty box so that one of the kids who believed she was a cat could go to the bathroom in kitty litter. That's the kind of thing that this group is pushing for. And again, they set the standards of care. So if they push for it, it's entirely possible that they'll get it. And it's insane. And the thing that I really want to impress upon you, the thing that I really want you to understand, is how much money gender-affirming care is worth. As soon as a child in school says, I think I might be the other sex, and a teacher pulls them aside and decides to start seeking that care, the total cost of bringing that child from the beginning of the trans movement to the end, where they get the surgeries and live as the other gender, or now I guess have their penis turned into a starfish and reaffixed somewhere on their body, whatever the end of that looks like. Right now, just removing the penis and turning it into a vagina, or removing the vagina and turning it into some kind of a penis, just doing that kind of care along with the hormone blockers and everything else goes into it, it's about $2 million a patient. So taking somebody who's a boy and turning him into a girl is going to cost $2 million. So I want you to think of the ramifications of how this works. As a parent, in a lot of areas in the United States today, all over Canada, by the way, things tend to happen in more liberal areas, and then they move their way into more conservative areas. So it starts in Canada, maybe in Europe, heads into California, starts spreading throughout the rest of the country. Parents don't have any say. In Canada, if your child, if you deny your child gender-affirming care, the government can take the child away from you for it. And that's largely becoming true in the United States, too, where a teacher can decide that a child should get gender-affirming care and start the child down that road and not even tell the parents. So, you know, you might get a call and be told that, you know, your kid's going to be gone for a few days. They're having the surgery, and there's nothing really as a parent that you can do about it. So I want you to think about this, that doctors are getting $2 million a pop for these children. And now not only children can't consent, and WPATH knows that. We know that from the document drop. But now they're not allowing parents to provide consent either. So here's how, if it's not happening exactly as I'm about to describe it today, I guarantee you at some point it will be. What happens if a doctor decides to give teachers kickbacks? I'll give you $10,000 to bring me, for each kid you bring me, that I can start moving down this road and make $2 million a pop up of. I'll give 10 grand, no questions asked. So then the teacher can talk the children into seeing the doctor, and the doctor can put them on puberty blockers and start moving them closer and closer and closer to having their genitalia possibly removed and turned into the opposite genitalia, non-functional opposite genitalia. Possibly now turning it into a starfish or a modern art masterpiece. You know, there's all the wheels are off the bus at this point. And so, you know, imagine teachers being paid to bring the kids over. I mean, this is so sickeningly wrong that I get angry talking about it, even after I've already written an article on it, and even after I've already been thinking, I still get angry every time I think about this. And how do you not get angry? These people are not just, these are not gender-affirming cares. This is genital mutilation. And when they start moving into other body parts, what, are we going to start letting children have their tongue sliced so they look like a lizard? I mean, where does this end? Are we going to have a kid who feels like he should be a paraplegic? Are we going to allow doctors to remove their arms and legs? Where does this end? If they want to look like a lizard, are we going to allow a 14-year-old to get implants that disform their body? You know, the thing is that what a child wants at 13 may be very, very different than what a child wants when they're 30. And that's why I don't think people understand. And you know, the transgender, I'm a Christian, so let's think for a moment about what transgenderism is. Transgenderism is the belief that God gets it wrong frequently. That God allows multiple children, many children, to be born with a body and a gender that are not the same, and that because of that, they're going to have these high rates of suicide. It's all, you know, you can't be a Christian and believe in the transgender ideology. You know, the truth is that if you just leave these kids alone, and, you know, we've had boys that wanted to play with dolls and wear dresses for as long as we've had dolls and dresses. I mean, it's not like any of this is truly new. But before, what would happen is they would hit puberty, and some of them would turn out to be gay. But the majority of them after puberty would just decide to stay the gender they are. And you know, it's like a phase they outgrow. And in countries in Europe that are beginning to move away from the trans ideology and that are starting to make it more difficult for children in particular to get these kinds of surgeries, what they're seeing is that's still true, that many people will, as they get older, just outgrow it, and they're perfectly happy with who they are. There are also a growing number of people that have had the surgeries, that have been mutilated by doctors, that as they get through puberty and develop into adults, they wish they hadn't had it. And, you know, how does this not blow up into a giant lawsuit? Where you have at some point it could be millions of people that have had these surgeries and been mutilated like this, and all of a sudden they're 20 years old and they think, oh my God, what have I done? And then they realize, well, my teacher talked me into it, and the doctor that probably gave her a kickback, he brought me in with open arms, and the standards of care that they followed, there was no scientific backing for it. They're just making it up as they go along. And, you know, how is this not going to turn into a massive, massive lawsuit? And who's going to pay the taxes on that? Who's going to pay the settlements on that? It's going to have to be the taxpayer, because the government is making the laws that are allowing this to happen. The whole thing just, it is mind-bogglingly stupid, and it blows my mind that we even have to have the conversation on this. The whole concept, just from beginning to end, is wrong. The whole concept of separating gender and sex is wrong. If a man wants to be more effeminate or a woman wants to be more masculine, well, that's a masculine woman or an effeminate guy. You don't have to... he doesn't have to be a woman to be feminine, to be more effeminate. And you know, taking parents out of it and having the government pay for it, the doctors are just, they can print money doing this. Get the teachers to bring you the kids, and you can literally print money doing this. That's how crazy this is. Opening up to other parts of the body, opening the genitalia up to, they're not just changing the sex anymore, they're mutilating genitalia to create things like, like abstract sculptures. So, you know, I mean, just imagine that. You know, somebody's going to have their penis cut off into the shape of a starfish and then affixed to their forehead. I mean, this is the kind of thing that WPATH is saying we need to allow and that we need to push on children. My thing is, and nobody's ever going to convince me differently, children, they probably need to know what sex is, you know, the birds and the bees and all that stuff. But does a child really need to know about sexuality before they hit puberty? Before you hit puberty, are you really even... There's no reason to teach children about sex. You don't need to know how to give a blowjob until you're old enough to... You know, teaching these things to young children when they're not even old enough to... Until you're puberty, none of that even matters. So, what are we doing? I am completely, completely out of my mind angry about this, that we're giving children puberty blockers that we know... The puberty blockers are the same medicines that are used to chemically castrate rapists and other sexual predators. So, when they say that they're giving out puberty blockers, understand... They are chemically castrating the people that are taking them, chemically castrating them, giving them hormones that are going to alter their body composition for the rest of their lives, that give them higher rates of potentially getting cancer, that destroy bone mass. The effects of these treatments are horrific. And we're making it sound like we have to do it or these kids are going to commit suicide. That's actually the argument they make. That if we don't give gender-affirming care, the kids are going to commit suicide. That's what Joe Biden says, by the way, when he gave his, the proclamation on Transgender Day of Visibility 2024. It's still up on the government website, the White House website. And his argument is that those that want to prevent children from doing this, they're the cause of children's death. That children are going to die, they're going to commit suicide because we didn't mutilate their genitalia. The thing is that there's scientific evidence on that because we know what the rates of transgender suicide were before we started having the, quote, gender-affirming care, and we know what those rates are today. And the rate of suicide of those who have had the gender-affirming care, it does drop immediately after the care, but the rate of suicide comes right back up, and years later it actually exceeds the suicide rate of transgender people that don't have the gender-affirming care. And, you know, I'm talking really more about adults than I'm talking about children because the gender-affirming care in children is still something relatively new. So I don't know how much data they have on that. But with trans adults, the evidence is absolutely clear that having gender-affirming care, what they call gender-affirming care, does not make them less likely to commit suicide. It actually makes them more likely to commit suicide as time passes. Initially with the surgery, yeah, they do feel some euphoria. I'm a man now, I'm a woman now, you know, whatever, yeehaw. But then after that fades and they realize, you know, I'm not a man. My penis doesn't actually work. They realize I'm not a woman. I can't enjoy sex and I'm never going to have a baby and I can't impregnate somebody else. Now, once they start realizing the consequences of those decisions, the suicide rate is higher. And we're talking about a group, the transgender community, those who are truly transgendered. We're talking about a group that has a suicide rate of 40%. 40% of people that are truly transgendered, not kids that are confused, truly transgendered, will commit suicide. And we're actually giving them care now that is going to increase those rates dramatically and mutilating children. I get part of the reason for it. The World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum, you know, we're being told by the World Economic Forum that we have about 90% too many people. The World Economic Forum says that the correct number of people for the Earth to support is about 500 million, and you know, we're up around 8 billion. So, you know, 9 in 10 of us have to die, basically. And you know, if you start looking at the things that we could do to reduce the population of the Earth, well, one thing that we could do to reduce the population quickly is chemically castrating children and doing gender-affirming cares that ensure that children are sterile. And if large numbers of kids do that, yeah, you're going to reduce, you know, your birth rate, which will over time reduce the population. Other things that you could do to reduce the population would be things like reducing the arability of land. In the Netherlands, you know, we know what's going on in the Netherlands. You've got the farmers that are protesting. And the reason they're protesting is because the government of the Netherlands is telling them that they have to leave half their land fallow, that they can't do any more animal farming. You know, you can't have any more cows or anything. And that they can't use fertilizers because all of those things supposedly are bad for the environment. Well, if you don't have animals and you don't have fertilizer and you don't use half your land, that's going to reduce the amount of food that the Netherlands produces by 90%. We've seen other countries that have already gone through this. Sri Lanka, actually, their government failed because they were the poster child of how to do all of the WEF stuff, how to follow all the United Nations mandates. And once they didn't have food, people began starving, and they literally threw out their government. It's a failed state now because they did these things, and the people of Sri Lanka realized eventually that, you know, that's not a good thing, that eating is necessary for life. But if you look at it from the WEF's perspective, you know, we want to reduce the population by 90%, and we want to reduce the food by 90%. Unless that's a coincidence, they're reducing the food to reduce the population, and we should be very concerned about that. All these things seem to point in the same direction, because the kids that are being chemically castrated in order to postpone puberty, they're not going to have kids of their own. And if I take off my, well, I have kids already, but if I were a young, a 13-year-old, and I took my penis off, had it turned into a starfish, and then surgically stapled to my forehead, I would not have been able to have children. You know, it doesn't work that way. And you know, when the insanity of this is just mind-blowing. And the inability to talk about it is absolutely mind-blowing as well. So I'm beside myself with anger, with shock, with dismay. This is a topic that, you know, I don't really want to do a show on this. I have to be honest with you. I have to then say words like penis and vagina on the air, which is not necessarily something I want to do, and just not a comfortable topic to talk about. But they're doing this to our children, and if we don't talk about it, they're going to continue. They don't want us to talk about it. You get canceled for talking about this. This show might get me in trouble on Facebook and Twitter. If it does, oh, well, I'm going to do it anyway, because we have to protect our children. We also have to protect ourselves. And metabolic dysfunction affects 87% of Americans, yet most people have never heard of it. According to the NIH, this is when metabolic health markers like cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, or weight are out of whack. Often there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. HealRight is a ready-to-eat metabolic health bar with a synergistic blend of superfood ingredients to address the nutritional root cause of metabolic dysfunction in as little as 8 weeks without additional diet or lifestyle changes. HealRight is not just effective, it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. No more worrying about the side effects of medications and figuring out how to stick to difficult diet and lifestyle changes. It beats metabolic dysfunction. Foods can be your best medicine. It tastes like a treat, acts like a medicine without the side effects. Step out of the statistics using food as medicine. 7 in 8 Americans are metabolically unhealthy, and 6 in 10 suffer from at least one chronic disease. There are 15-plus years of research developed by world-renowned nutritional scientists behind HealRight, and it's a 100% money-back guarantee. So get a metabolic reset. Measurable improvements in just 8 weeks include cholesterol levels, blood sugar balance, reduced inflammation, a slimmer waistline, gut health and a microbiome health. It lowers the GLP-1s naturally and is a fraction of the cost of prescription drugs. For those about to start weight loss drugs, consider this first. It is 20-plus essential micronutrients. Each bar has soluble and insoluble fibers for close to 25% of total dietary fiber needs in just one serving. You get omega-3 fatty acids, 6 grams of proteins, and other building blocks for metabolic health. It has antioxidants, high prephenol-containing foods. There are only 250 calories per serving, so this is not a meal replacement. You still get to eat. I would encourage you to try Heal Right today. My wife and I are both taking it. I use it to get back some of the metabolism of my youth. I find that about an hour after I eat a Heal Right bar, I feel more mentally focused. I also been able to remove myself completely from cholesterol medications. My wife eats a bar a day as well, and she agrees with me. Heal Right works. Along with a healthy diet and exercise, Heal Right can make all the difference in the world. So try Heal Right today. Go to HealRight.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off your purchase. That's OUTLOUD at HealRight.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in a few minutes. We'll give our sponsors a moment. And then this is a very important topic. I want to start getting more into on the second half, not what's happening. I think I already covered that pretty well. But I want to take a real deep dive on the simple fact that we're not allowed to talk about it. So come back. We'll talk to you on the other side.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill, it's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX. Because it works.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. let's talk a bit, get right back into it. Let's talk a bit about what it is to be trans and how many people actually are trans. And it's not really just trans anymore, because the concept of the whole thing is kind of morphing into just a free for all of love is love or whatever. Because the concept of trans, of course, is still a gender binary, and what the media wants us to move away from, what the movement that we're talking about wants us to move away from, is that gender binary. So it's now becoming like a prism, and let's talk about numbers, though. Some people are legitimately transgendered. By transgendered, I mean people that would have been, back when psychiatrists knew what they were talking about, that would have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria. A man who is uncomfortable with the maleness of his body, or a woman who is uncomfortable with the femaleness of her body. And those numbers are very, very low. When we look at the Silent Generation, for example, born between 1928 and 1945, the number of people that would have been identified as being transgendered, as having gender dysphoria, it was about 0.5%. 0.5%. Excuse me, 0.05%, not even 0.5%, well below 0.5%. When you start moving into 1946 and 1964, we're talking about 0.2%. When we start getting into my generation, those born between 1965 and 1980, we're talking about 0.3%. So still very, very low numbers. And when you look at millennials, it's about 1% that view themselves as being transgendered. Generation X and the millennials are probably some very good numbers to look at there, because Generation X that's the age group where it started to be okay to be gay, to be trans, to be all these different things. You know, when I was a kid, if you dropped a football during lunch in school, when somebody passed it to you, they might call you gay. And so it was an insult to call a man that back in that era. But my generation was also the generation that we grew up watching popular singers on MTV who were clearly gay. We were the generation that, I guess, first began to think maybe it's okay to be gay or to be trans or to be these different things. And the millennials, they're fully embraced it. You know, the millennial generation, they grew up. You were not calling guys gay if you're a millennial when they dropped a football at lunch. They were the generation that started from birth, you know, believing that these things are okay, but it wasn't pushed on them. They didn't have teachers saying, now, Johnny, you can be Jenny if you want. It wasn't pushed on them the way that it's being pushed on now. So when we look at the generations in the past, it would appear that maybe 1% are actually trans. When we look at kids today, they actually find that it's all the way up to 5% that call themselves trans. And again, they're not teaching them so much that you can be trans anymore, so much as they're teaching them that it's not a gender binary and you can be all kinds of fluid things. This is exactly why, by the way, WPATH wants to move away from chopping the penises off and turning them into vaginas, and wants to start turning them into modern art masterpieces, wants to start turning them into starfishes and whatever else, and even attaching them to parts of the body other than where they were removed. That's why they want to do that, because they believe that gender is now so fluid that you should be able to have your genitalia look however you want it to look and attach it wherever you think it should be attached. And the numbers then are flying up when you start adding all of the other parts of the LGBTQ+ community. That number goes up to 19.7, almost 20% among Generation Zers. It was much, much smaller when I was a kid. We were only a handful of people who would openly call themselves gay. There were probably more who were gay that weren't as open about it. But I mean, just the numbers of people that are in these groups that are now being encouraged to question their sexuality, to question their gender, to question who they're attracted to, and all of this at very young ages, taught that it's completely fluid and they can just do whatever they want. The numbers then are just absolutely exploding. It's all the way up to 19%. And now, imagine a country where 20% of the public is mutilated when they're children. I mean, imagine that. No, the numerical, the staggering nature of this is, you know, it's almost as if I were to say that if we counted abortion as a cause of death in our country, it would be the leading cause of death in our country. Now, the leading cause of death, according to the world, according to our government, according to the CDC, is heart issues, you know, heart disease. More people die of heart disease than of anything else. But it is true that if we counted abortion as a cause of death, it would be the leading cause of death in our country. More babies are aborted than old men die of heart disease. And that's staggering, but it's true. And, you know, sometimes I wonder if we could go back to 1972 and tell not just the Supreme Court, but tell the general public, guys, in 40 years, abortion is going to be, it's not going to be rare but safe, it's going to be the leading cause of death in this country. If we could go back and tell them that, tell the Supreme Court and tell the public that in 40 or 50 years, abortion will be the leading cause of death in our country if we have Roe versus Wade, I don't think Roe versus Wade would ever have happened because they would have had the foresight to see that's a bad thing. Unfortunately, they didn't have that foresight. We had Roe versus Wade, and now we are in a position where abortion is the leading cause of death in our country. Similarly, we have large numbers of children that, because teachers are telling them at a very young age, and more parents are agreeing with this, the culture of the country is starting to embrace this, that they can be whatever they want to be sexually. And they can be that and choose that at a very young age before they're in puberty, before they have any hormones driving them in any particular direction, when they're supposed to just be playing tag out in the playground, then they're not supposed to be thinking about sexuality. We have teachers that are teaching them about it and that are encouraging, currently the number is about 19.7% that are being encouraged to consider having, these kinds of surgeries, these kinds of procedures, and all of that. And if you look at the growth in it, just between the millennials and Generation Z, it's grown, just those that call themselves trans. And again, the millennials, when they said they were trans, that was there was no, you still had a gender binary then as they were growing up. So that was the only choice. Now you can be all kinds of variations of trans in terms of I don't identify as a man, I don't identify as a woman. As a consequence, now the number of people that we would classify as trans is much higher than the actual trans number. The trans number, however, has grown five times. It's now 5%. And somewhere between 5 and 20% would be somewhere in that fluid scale where maybe they are, maybe they're not, and they're being encouraged to go through these procedures and destroy their lives. That has to stop. This is not a cultural change that our country can live with. This is, we're doing things in our country that are as bad and are being done in Europe. They're being done in Canada. Things are happening now around us, such as this, that are more horrific than anything Hitler ever dreamed of. And I mean that. We are becoming, this country is, we're doing things that are so, it's just, I stutter when I try to say how bad they are. That's how bad these things are. I can't even get the words out of my mouth because some of the things that we are doing right now in this country, mutilating children, are that horrific. It's got to stop, people. These are not cultural changes, our country. We can't allow this to happen. If you had the opportunity to stop Hitler, you would have done it. We have the opportunity to stop this, but we have to do it now. If we wait much longer, that opportunity is going to pass. And, you know, we know it's bad because they won't let us talk about it. It's becoming true that it's becoming true that you can determine what is true versus what is false by how much flack you get for saying something. So when I attack the trans movement, that's going to be shut down a lot of places. It's going to be hard to find. That's going to be shut down. People are going to say, well, you're not supposed to do that. You'll be able to hear me on the America Out Loud network. We're not a site of censorship, but you're going to have to go to the network to hear it. I mean, this is a message that I'm probably going to get flagged for. But people, we have to be able to talk about things. And, you know, COVID, everything we couldn't talk about was true. We're not allowed to say the 2020 election was less than legitimate. You have to say, oh, yeah, it was the safest, most perfect election ever. You have to sound like Trump about how great things are when you talk about that election. But you can't say anything positive about Trump otherwise, and you can never question the integrity of the 2020 election. Now, you can question the integrity of other elections. The last election, presidential election that a Republican won, that the Democrats agree a Republican won, you have to go all the way back to George H.W. Bush beating Michael Dukakis for that. You have to go all the way to the 90s to find Democrats widely agreeing that an election where a Republican won wasn't fraudulent. So it used to be perfectly okay to question the integrity of American elections. Democrats have been doing it for decades. But now, 2020, you're not allowed to talk about it, which is why I think that very good chance that was a fraudulent election, because you're not allowed to talk about it. This, too, is something you're simply not allowed to talk about. We are censoring political voices in our country that go against a narrative that is horrifically bad. Horrifically bad. This isn't little bit bad stuff. This is ridiculously, horrifically bad stuff. Mutilating children without parents' consent, the children not old enough to consent. We find out that WPATH knows that children are not able to consent, that they know they're not following any kind of a scientific or a medical, they're just making it up as they go and doing it because they want to do it. You know, we're seeing teachers. Who's that teacher in Canada? Has the giant, massive fake boobs that almost fall out of his shirt. And he teaches shop at a Canadian school. And the school supports him in wearing this. Oh, I forget what the name of his fetish is, but his fetish is an actual fetish. It's a named fetish. It's a kink that some people have. And him taking that to school, Canada is allowing and encouraging him to involve school children in the performance of his fetish. He is getting sexual satisfaction while he is in school teaching students. I don't know that he's, you know, how far he's going with, but that's a fetish that he's performing, and he's performing it with students. So, you know, the kinds of things that we are allowing to happen, it's just horrific. And, you know, if you think that teachers are not going to take money from doctors to deliver children to them, to talk children into getting these surgeries and getting these treatments, if you don't think that is going to happen, understand that it is the teachers that are preventing the parents from finding out that their children want these things and that are taking them to the doctors today. If your morality is so short-circuited that you think that is okay, how hard is it to believe that you might think, you know, I'm doing such a great thing, there's nothing wrong with me getting paid a little bit of money to do it. So if the doctor offers me $10,000 for children, I'll try to bring in my old classroom. Why not? Why would you think that somebody whose morality is already so twisted and so bad is going to all of a sudden think, you know, I shouldn't take money for this? That's like thinking that a murderer is not going to shoplift. What they're doing already is the bad part. Getting paid for it is I don't want to say it's a minor thing, but it's not as bad as what they're doing now. It just makes what they're doing worse. But the really bad part is what they're doing now. Taking a bribe is nowhere near as bad as mutilating children's genitals. So the bad part of it's already out there, and it's happening in our country. It's in Canada, as I said earlier. If you try to stop the gender-affirming care from your child, you can lose your child. And that's starting to happen in the United States, too. This is a cultural change that is not just, we are destroying our country, and our country is not going to survive this. Our country cannot survive this. Our election integrity is shot. Republicans don't believe that our elections are legitimate anymore. You can tell from what's happening with Trump, Democrats don't really care whether the elections are legitimate, as long as we're not allowed to say that they're not, and as long as they win. And you know, we're heading a very, very dark place. Richard Dawkins, the famed atheist, biology, he's a cellular biologist or something like that in his career, but what he's really known for is being an atheist and writing lots of atheist stuff. Even Richard Dawkins now, who has been railing against Christianity and railing against Christian ethics for most of his life, even he says that it's gone way too far and that we need to accept the role of being cultural Christians. If you don't want to be a Christian, even Richard Dawkins now says that we should all be cultural Christians, because what we're finding is that taking Christian morality away, taking the cultural aspect of Christianity away, does not lead to a magic utopia. it leads to a horrific place where horrific decisions are made, where children are encouraged to do horrific things, or allow horrific things to be done to them, where we champion the horrific, and it leads to what we're getting. What Richard Dawkins is upset about, actually, is the Islamification of England. That's not what our current problem here, but the cultural changes that are happening in England. You know, he thought Christianity was really bad. If they get rid of it, they'll have a non-religious world. And instead, what he's getting is a religion that, in terms of how people are treated, in terms of the specifics of the belief structures and what have you, it's much worse than Christianity. Even if you think Christianity is bad, it is difficult to look at, you know, read the Bible, read the Quran, and you tell me which one is less horrific. Just read the damn books. That's what I tell people. You know, people ask me, well, they'll say, well, why do you say Islam is bad and Christianity is not? I'm like, well, because I've read the Bible and I've read the Quran and I've read the Book of Mormon. I don't just, you know, I grew up in an atheist household. I became a Christian at a very young age. If you read my biography on the network, I was 4 when I became a Christian. So I don't really have many memories of not being a Christian. I get in debates with people sometimes. They'll say, well, you have to be reborn to be a Christian. And I'm like, well, I wasn't reborn. Somebody pointed out to me I was, but I was at such a young age, I don't necessarily look at it that way because I don't really have much memory of before that. The point is that Christianity, that growing up in an atheist household, I had to defend my religion. And since I didn't really understand what my religion was, when I was old enough to begin to understand more about it, beyond just the basics that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior that died for our sins, I wanted to learn. So, you know, how do you learn in an atheist household when you're a Christian? You buy a Bible and you read. So when I was old enough to have a paper route, one of the first things I did was buy a Bible and I read it cover to cover. I've read the Bible several times now. I'm in the process of reading it right now, cover to cover. And so I've read these books. I understand what they are. But if we allow these cultural changes to continue to occur, we may not become an Islamic country like seems to be happening to England and France and Germany. But our future is going to be even more horrific because Islam may be worse than Christianity, but it is a defined moral order that people can follow and get along. What we're doing is taking all morality, throwing it out the window, and replacing it with some politicized group of doctrines that don't even make any sense, and allowing people to champion doing horrific things and being horrific, and we're doing it for ridiculously small sizes of the population. We're having teachers teach things that are not just false, but that are evil. We're teaching and you know, the concept that climate change is our greatest threat. No, it is not. Climate change is not our greatest threat. If these cultural changes are not our greatest threat, I think the cultural changes may be. But if the cultural changes, the lack of Christian morality, is not our greatest threat, then our greatest threat is the belief that climate change is our greatest threat. Because the things that we're doing to try to prevent climate change, the things that we're doing or that we're talking about doing, that is going to radically, radically, radically change the world. When they talk about ending free markets, what do you replace free markets with? People say, well, I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist. I just love people. Okay, you love people, but now they're not allowed to buy cars. They're not allowed to choose where they live. They're not allowed to have enough food to eat. The changes that they're talking about forcing down our throat and are, in fact, forcing down our throat based upon this evil, evil ideology, not just the trans ideology, but the whole leftist vision. If we don't stop this now, we're done. This country is going to be absolutely destroyed by it, and the morality of much of the left, right, even right now, is so twisted and perverted that from a moral perspective, they don't know what's right or wrong. They don't know up from down. You know, when you start saying that Christianity is evil and that no morality is good, I'm sorry, that's the opposite of the truth. The truth is that of all of the religions, at least that I have been exposed to and that I have studied, Christianity, even if I were an atheist, which I'm not, I would still choose the Christian morality. I would still choose the Christian culture, the Judeo-Christian culture that our society was built on and is based on. And as we remove the morality and allow teachers to tell children to have their genitals mutilated and everything else that is happening because of this, that is happening as a result of that cultural transformation, you know, the only thing, we don't know what it looks like. It may look like a Clockwork Orange. It may look like 1984. We don't know what this hellish dystopian nightmare is going to look like specifically, but it's out there. And if you can't see if you can't see it coming now, I don't know what to tell you, because it's coming. It's coming soon. And if this is our last chance, if we don't stop it now, if we don't win this next election and put people in place that will give some sanity at the federal and at the state level to walk us back from some of the just cultural abortion that the left is trying to perform and is performing through law. I don't know we're not going to have another opportunity to do it. The simple fact is that we're in the process of being turned into a one-party system, and that one party, if you're Republican, it's not your party. The media is against conservatives. Google is against conservatives. So big tech is. Social media, with the exception of Twitter, it's all against conservatives. The ability to speak now, we're already largely a one-party state. This message, it's not going to resonate anywhere near as much as it would if there were true freedom of speech and if the platforms out there would allow messages to spend irrespective of the political nature or the political leanings of the statement. So we're already largely there, and we're on the verge of losing our ability to try to head back. And ladies and gentlemen, I could go on all day on this topic. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but I think we got through everything I wanted to cover. We've talked about the trans agenda very, very hard. I've talked about, you know, how we're going through a cultural transformation that is going to destroy us. And, you know, we got to stop this now. That's all there is to say. But as always, thanks for tuning in. Please tell others who might be interested in cutting through the chaos to listen in either on Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time or on podcast whenever they have the time. And we will see you next week at the same time and place. It will be once again time to get involved and to get loud on America Out Loud.